going to open up our Bibles to three portions of Scripture this morning. The first is going to be Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Second is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. And the third is going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 through 13. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 through 13. 2 Corinthians 6, 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. You have gathered us here to hear your word. Thank you, Father. You've exalted your word above your name. Father, we pray this morning you would help all of us, each one of us, to receive with meekness your word, that it might do the work you have for it in each one of our lives. Pray for our pastor today. Cover him as he's in Kansas City. Bring him back to us safely. Thank you for Pastor Shabelli, for covering him during his travels and for bringing him back here to us in Baltimore. Anoint his mouth this morning, his heart, his ears, as he receives from you and he imparts the message you have for us. And anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive the word you have. Father, we love you. Thank you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. We gained an hour. Isn't that great? What are we going to do with it? It's like a man who was running to a train, and he said, why are you running? He says, because I'm going to pick up about 5 minutes. He says, what are you going to do with that 5 minutes that you picked up, you know? Always trying to save time, but don't know what to do with it when we save it. Okay, Pastor Steve, is that ready? Okay, this is, thank you for your prayers. I can't even see that. Can you see that? I can't see it. Is that because I'm not focused on the right, I'm too close to it? Well, first of all, on the last trip, and I really covered, I can tell that the church is praying and people are praying for the trip because it goes so well. I don't know how 10 airplane trips, 20 airport checks, and, well, I won't even go beyond that, but we started, it takes, to get the Tin Gin, it took about 28 hours to get to Tianjin. And that's where we met maybe 220 Chinese believers. And it was an amazing time in a resort there, way outside of the city. And especially because of some of the things that happened to me in China many years ago, they said it's best if we go out of the city somewhere. And, oh, that's much better. Then from Tianjin, we flew to Kunming with Pastor Mike and where Avril and the work is there with the Bible school. From Kunming, we went to Guangzhou, Pastor Yossi Marion, and a great team there and a large church there. From Guangzhou, we went to Nepal, over there, where there's 43 Greater Grace churches and amazing Pastor Rajan. And from Nepal, we flew to Bangalore, Pastor Brian Coelho, stayed there 5 days from Bangalore to Mumbai with Pastor Carl, and we did a conference plus a leadership training session, and then from there, another 30 hours back home. And I am sick of airplanes. I'm just sick of them. I got to take a look at one this weekend in Houston, and then after that, Peru. I feel like I'm mentally ill. Yeah. My wife said to me, like, what are you doing? I said, I don't know. I'm really not so sure about what I'm doing, but I am sure. I'm just joking. But we had 170 Greater Grace churches. We touched 170 Greater Grace churches in this trip. And it's amazing. There's 115 in India, and they've done an amazing, incredible work of God there. There's 9 in the Far East, which we won't mention the name again, sweet and sour chicken. And then Nepal, 42 or 43. So it was really quite something of an adventure. And I came home, I lied down one afternoon at 3 o'clock and woke up the next day at, I think, like 10 o'clock in the morning. It was like almost 20 hours of just like out, just completely out, which is great. Then you're just ready to go again, I think. I think we're ready to go again. So it's really a privilege to meet the body of Christ. And as we're going to speak this morning about how Jesus Christ has an enlarged heart for people, his heart is enlarged. I was just thinking that when I was sitting there about some students I had in grade 12. Michelle, do you remember? Grade 11 and grade 12, you were one of those amazing students. And you went to Latin America, correct? Was it Chile? You went to Chile, and Latasha went to Africa. Avril went to China. Mike went to China. Debbie Wistera, she married Pastor Pete Wistera, which was a great blessing for him. I don't know if he's here, but that's okay. He may not be. And let me think, Jim Shermer, Pastor Jim Shermer was in that class. He went to the Emirates with his father. He's been in Budapest for God knows how long. And I was thinking about this 11th and 12th grade and just the kind of hearts that these young people had at that time and how important that is. And so as we read the first verse, we see that Jesus says, come. And by the way, the word come is not like, you know, come if you want to. It's really in the command tense. Jesus is saying, you need to come. It's important to come to God. Because if you don't come with all the labor and that which is heavy laden, as we heard this morning's message on a bag of rocks, which was a great message by Pastor Love, if I don't come, then I'm with these things. I'm trying to handle these cares, these anxieties, these difficulties, these problems, these situations by myself. So he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I don't think there's anybody here that's laboring and heavy laden, right? You're all free of everything, right? That's finished work. That's positional truth. But I have things. I have burdens. I have situations in my life that I need to come. And he says, take, okay? You come and he's there to give, and we take. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And you're going to find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. And it's interesting that the word rest doesn't mean rest from work. It means rest in the work. That's very important. A lot of people would like to take a 51-week-a-year vacation and work 1 week. And they would say, I just need the rest. But Jesus, when it comes to spiritual things, says you're going to find rest in the work, not without the work. That's where you really find your rest. But I just thought about the enlarged heart of Jesus Christ. Do you know that this area of the world, China and India and Nepal and Southeast Asia, there's 2.5 billion people in those two countries, or just China and India alone. That's one-third of the world is in these two countries. I mean, you know something's up when you got a 20-person line in front of you to go to the bathroom. You know, like, you know what? Sometimes you got to yell emergency just to get in there, you know. And I mean, the bathroom line is like incredibly long, you know. And I'm like, wow. I mean, thank God I got the patience to wait here, which I don't, but it was amazing. And we realize that God's heart is so enlarged for each and every person. And you can just see millions and millions of people on the streets. I was talking to one man. He said to me, he said, well, we have one of the smaller cities in China. I said, what's the population? He says, 21 million. I said, one of the what? He goes, oh, we're one of the smaller cities in China. I'm like, 21 million? Imagine 21 million people in a city. How about one of the first places we stopped? There's 30 million people there in one city. That's like incredible, you know? And yet God has an enlarged heart. He just says for us to come. I don't care what your situation is, who you are, what you're going through, what's happened in the past, what you think is going on in the present circumstances, what you believe the future might bring. God just says, come. And his heart is enlarged. And then he wants not only for me to come because he has an enlarged heart, but he would like me to have a what? Enlarged heart. See, the Corinthians were very narrow in their thinking, very restricted in how they viewed people and situations and things. And they could be very much geared towards only a certain group of people. And I think that can happen in our lives at times, that we become very narrow, not just narrow-minded, but our heart becomes very straightened. He used the word straightened there. And in your emotions, you are straightened in your emotions. And God wants to open up our hearts. Our hearts would be open. They would be enlarged. You know, I was thinking about a heart attack this morning. Not that I want to have one, but I was thinking about one and how the gospel, we were out in the streets Friday and Saturday. The gospel is like the ambulance that's going out with the message. You know, the siren. You know, you ever hear, I don't even know how a siren goes, but just a siren with feet of the gospel. And we're bringing people to the hospital, which is the body of Christ in the church. And what they'll find in the hospital is Jesus Christ, the great physician. And I think it's amazing that the church ought to be a place that has an enlarged heart. Sometimes I've seen in churches, maybe in Africa in particular, because that's what I have a lot of knowledge of, that are very much restricted. They just have this tribe goes to this church. This people group goes to this church. This is a church for young people. This is a church for older people. This is a church for rich people. This is a church for poor people. This is a church for ex-drug addicts. This is a church for alcoholics, you know? And yet God doesn't want the church to be like that. God wants the church to have a what? A what? An enlarged heart. An awesomely enlarged heart that it can just take in everybody and anyone, regardless of what is going on in their life. And so he says to the Corinthians, you know, and by the way, I don't believe that we should speak. Of course, we're going to. But he says, when you have an enlarged heart, then your mouth should speak. There's a lot of places today where you hear people speaking, but their heart is not enlarged at all. It's very narrow. It's very restricted. It's very fundamentalist at times. It's very much religious. It's very much this is what we believe. This is how what we do. And I know that some of those things can be true, and they're actually truths from the Bible. But they leave no room for anybody else even to come. I had a Bible study. I told the story years ago, and it was on Central Street in Springfield, Massachusetts. And I had about 35 people coming, most of which were real problem people. And one day we had a break. It was a hot summer night. And during the break of the Bible study, there was maybe 6 or 7 people smoking on the porch of the Bible study. And some church leaders happened to ride by. I wasn't a church leader then. I was just a Bible study kind of guy, you know. And they rode by and they called me into the office the next day and they said, we saw 4 or 5 people smoking on the porch of your Bible study. Do you allow that to go on? I said, well, last week they were shooting heroin in the bathroom. I said, they are really growing. Someday they'll be like you. But I hope not. But I hope not. Now, I'm not saying, I know what smoking can do to a person's life and all that. But it was amazing. Their heart was so restricted. Their heart was so controlled by a certain bent of mind, and it's called legalism. There was no grace. Philippians chapter 1, verse 7, Paul says to them, I have you in my heart. We are partakers of grace. And there's actually two versions in the translation, depending upon which one, 26,000 translations that are there, the manuscripts. But some of them say, you have me in your heart. I think it's true for both of them. I have you in my heart, Paul would say, and I want you to have me in your heart. Because this is what really makes a difference in Christianity, an enlarged heart. And when a heart is restricted and a heart is narrow and a heart can't take in people, and by the way, I want to give the definition because, you know, sometimes we think of the heart as something beating, pa, 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 right? You just hope it keeps going times, you know. What is the heart? Many years ago, Pastor Stevens gave a great definition. I'm hoping I can recall it right now. The center of all your motivational thinking. Pastor Steve, you can help me with this if I go on the wrong way. I know you know it. The center of all motivational thinking. The heart is the center of all the thinking that should be motivating me. I think number two was the basis for all operational behavior. The basis for all operational behavior. It's the heart. It's not just like, you know, sometimes you see the translations and concordances of what the heart is. But it's the basis for all operational behavior, and it's the communication center of the purposes of God. This is the heart, the center of all motivational thinking, the basis of all operational behavior, the center of communication for the purposes of God. That's the heart. And God says he wants our hearts to be what? Enlarged, to have an enlarged heart, you know? And sometimes I would have troubles when I remember, like, I wasn't so keen about visiting nursing homes. And then God had to enlarge my heart for people that were in those kind of difficulties. And there's some people, they say, I could never talk to a person with an addiction problem. Really? Then your heart is what? Heart is straightened, it's narrow. I have a hard time talking to poor people. I once met a man who was in Baltimore, and he was ordained. And I asked him one time, how come he doesn't evangelize? Just a question to him personally. I'm not asking you that question, I'm asking him. He says, I'm not so particularly keen about black people. I said, you're in Baltimore. I said, what do you mean? Like, what is the difference? What are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about. And I could see that from his upbringing and where he was raised, he had no contact with African Americans, and so there was a fear there. His heart was what? Straightened. His heart was narrow. His heart, he is having actually a spiritual heart attack. It was a spiritual heart attack. The heart was not enlarged. Nothing was happening there, and this is what God wants to do. He wants to expand our hearts. Expand our hearts so we can take in every single person in every situation and have a desire to really see them be transformed. This is the heart of God. And he's saying through the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, your hearts are narrow. You know, you need to have an enlarged heart. I come to church and I sit over. Okay, if you're sitting over in the corner, don't take this personal. I sit over in the corner and I don't want a whole lot to do with people. I want to come in at 11:05 and go out 5 minutes before church ends when they say the salvation calls, I'm out the door. And I don't want to really talk to anybody. You know what? That person needs to grow. And God, and all they got to do is come to Jesus and receive from his heart. And so that they're not sitting off in a corner, not coming late and going early and avoiding all kinds of contact with any believer at all. By the way, I know some pastors that do that. Not here, but I've known them. And I'm thinking like, wow, you're interesting. You come late and you leave early and nobody can approach you. You're unapproachable. That's why, don't you love our church? We have rap sessions. We have times. We have a cafe. We have all these opportunities for people that if you have some situation in your life, you can come. Because we as leaders, I love Pastor Jason. I often wonder whether he had a sin nature. But because I read the Bible, I know he does. Because I read the Bible, I know he does. Because I read the Bible, I know he does. And he has such a heart for people. He has such, doesn't he? Can we say that? He has a, where's his wife? Hi? I want chocolate chip cookies. No, I'm just joking. I said that from my heart. He has a great heart after people. And so an enlarged heart. Jesus has this incredibly enlarged heart. And this is what he desires for the church to have. The church has to have an enlarged heart. That's why I believe a church that doesn't do outreach doesn't have an enlarged heart. Oh, no, they don't want, listen, we got enough problems as it is. Just take a look at our church. We got enough problems as it is. Why reach out for more problems? Why reach out for more people with more situations, with more difficulties, with more addictions, with more whatever is going down, whatever is happening? Why reach out for more people? I mean, I can't even, it's too much right now. And God says you ought to have an enlarged heart. Do you know that this ministry has 650 branch churches in 80 countries? Are you listening to me? That means, why? Because Pastor Stevens, here's this little man, 30s or whatever he was at the time. He's up in Maine in some small little town called West Sumner, right? And he comes from West Sumner, and look what takes place. What's taking place is his heart was enlarged. His heart was enlarged, and he had a vision for the whole world, even when there was 12 people in the church. And they were thinking he was out of his mind. Crazy. He's talking about a worldwide vision, and they're sitting in West Sumner going, take a look around. It's like there's holes in the floor, and there's about 10 or 12 of us, and half of us are going to die in the next 3 years. And he's talking about a worldwide vision. Pastor Stevens had a what? Enlarged heart. Pastor Schaller has a what? He's in Kansas City. He has an enlarged heart. And this is really what the heartbeat of the mission. You know, we can have all kinds of governmental people, elders and trustees and all kinds of things like that. Can you imagine if those people do not have an enlarged heart? And their heart is narrow and restricted and all they're thinking about is money? And I know money is important, but big deal. Whatever, you know. I don't even think about money. I don't even think about it. It's like it doesn't even come to the forefront of my mind. At all, whatever. What does that mean? But he says, I want you to be enlarged. And Christ had this enlarged heart. And I have to be careful in my life that I don't allow myself to become narrow in my thinking, narrow in my emotions, straightened in my choices, and have a life that just reveals that, where I'm just going to live, I'm living unto God and me. It's God and me and nobody else. That's when you find out problems are happening in your life. When it's just me and God and nobody else, and God says, you know what? I'm going to cause trouble in your life just to expand you and expand your heart. God is the reason for the trouble. Are you listening? I'll talk to some people, and they'll say, I got a problem in my marriage. You want to know why I got a problem in your marriage? I said to my wife, if it wasn't for the body of Christ, we'd have killed each other by now. Or she would have killed me. I wouldn't have killed her. I don't know how it would have gone, actually. But it's the body of Christ that enlarged our heart. Heart enlarged. Somebody once said to me one time, what are you going to Africa for? I said, I don't know. God just opened up my heart for Africa. And here we are 31 years later, still there. It's an enlarged heart. I got that from Jesus Christ. I got that from the ministry. And our hearts are open. And that means for everybody and anybody. Jesus can meet Nicodemus. He's a religious man. Do we have a heart for religious people? There's quite a lot of them in this world. There's Hindus and there's Buddhists and there's, where else was I? China, Hindu, Buddhist. I mean, there's all kinds of orthodoxy, huh? What else? Where else was I? Hindu, Buddhist, but there's more than that. Religious people. Is my heart open for religious people? Or am I just there to correct them so they would get the right kind of thinking? Is my heart open? Is my heart open for young people and middle-aged people like myself and older people like you? I said to my wife, 70 years old, I turned 70 tomorrow. Don't buy me a birthday present. I don't want it. Knock it off. I'm not saying it for that. But I said to myself, can you believe we've lived this long? Can you believe we're still here? I never thought I would get past 40, to be honest with you. With my education addiction and drug addiction and alcohol addiction and crime addiction, I never expected beyond 40. And I'm looking for like 90 right now. That's what I plan to keep traveling like this because what a way to go if you have to go, huh? Well, what a way. But an enlarged heart. Jesus had a heart for Nicodemus. Maybe a lot of people don't have a heart for religious people. It's incredible. Jesus had a heart for a woman at a well. On her fifth husband, his heart is enlarged. He has an enlarged heart for a man who has an infirmity of 38 years. He has an enlarged heart for a man born blind. He has an enlarged heart for blind Bartimaeus. He has an enlarged heart for a leper in Luke 17. He has an enlarged heart for backsliders. There's none here. There's nobody here backsliding. So don't take it personal. Luke 24, they're going the other way. And Jesus begins to talk to them. He chases them down. Isn't that amazing? God chasing down two backsliders? And he talks to them and he breaks bread with them. And they say, what? Didn't our hearts burn within us when he talked to us in the way and he showed us the scriptures? Our hearts were burning. And their hearts were burning because Jesus' heart was enlarged. He's going after them. Hello? Samaritans? Are you kidding me? It's a country of devils, a woman and her fifth husband in a city of drunkards. That's what Sychar was called, city of drunkards. Samaria was a country of devils, and she's on her fifth husband. And Jesus has a what? Enlarged heart. An enlarged heart for the Luke 15 backslider. You know how it is? We can get like this when somebody backslides. Oh, they should know better. What's wrong with them? You know, let them figure it out themselves. Let them come to the end of themselves. No, is my heart what? Is my heart enlarged? That's what I loved about prison ministry. I did it for 10 years and having two homes for drug addicts. What did it do for me? God, my heart was straightened. My heart was narrow. And through those things, God did what? Enlarge my heart. Can you love these people who can't stand you, don't even like you, maybe hate you, maybe would rob you at any point in time? Is your heart open and enlarged? Yes, only God can do that. Only God can do that. Joseph's heart was what for his brothers that sold him into slavery? What was his heart? Enlarged. His heart was enlarged. And Jesus said, you come to me, I'm going to enlarge your heart. You say, I don't want an enlarged heart. I got enough I'm dealing with right now. And maybe that's because if our heart is not enlarged and we're just restricted in our hearts or my own little life, my own little things that are going on in my life, and our heart is not enlarged, and then God says, well, you know what? If that's how you want to live, you're going to live with this. And by the way, handle it yourself. Have you ever tried to handle your own problems? Oh, who's laughing like that, huh? Yeah. You ever try to handle your own problems? When Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. Huh? Casting your cares where? On your husband? On your wife? Huh? On the pastor? Hello. Casting all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for me. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't have anxiety about everything. When anxiety controls the heart, it's heart attack, arteries clogging up. Here comes the ambulance. This is what can happen. And I want my heart to be expanded. I don't want to, you know, there's a lot of things that can expand when you get older. There's a lot of things. The waistline can expand. You won't expand your hair. Your hair will be lost usually, right? Pastor Jerry and the guy behind you, the two of you, right? Oh, it's like the sun and the moon. It's awesome. One's reflecting off the other. I'm just having a good time, okay? I have an enlarged heart for people with no hair. You got that, Pastor Mark? Yes, an enlarged heart. An enlarged heart. I remember one time there was somebody that came with their daughter, and they said to me, I cannot control my daughter. She's out of her mind. She's using narcotics. She carries a switchblade. Her mouth is as vulgar as you could ever get. And I'm talking to the mother, and there's the girl right there. And her mother says, I can't handle it. Will you take her? She goes, I would never go with this jerk, Pastor. She said about me, only she used some other keen words that weren't so nice. And I said to myself, I want this girl. I want to take this girl home. Me and my wife will take care. You know what? 7 years later, she was still with me. She went to Africa as a missionary. You know what? Is your heart what? Enlarged. Enlarged. I don't particularly like this kind of person, that kind of person, this situation, that situation. Is your heart what? enlarged. I mean, I was looking at it, like 2.5 billion Indians and Chinese people. You know what kind of a, I mean, hello, we have opportunities everywhere. As a ministry, amen, you know you're a part of a ministry that's heart is enlarged. And Jesus' heart was incredibly enlarged. Here's Peter. He's Mr. Prejudice. He will eat with Gentiles until the Jews come up, and then he says, I gotta go. He's eating with the Gentiles, but when the Jews come up, religious Jews were his great fear. He backed away, and Paul rebuked him to the face. He said, it's your heart is wrong overall, what he said. And Peter finally got it in 1 Peter 1:22 through 23. He said he now had unfeigned and fervent love for the brethren. He passed from just being a person with a restricted love for Jews only, that he could now love Gentiles. He could now love them and even have a mission to them. You ever hear people make this statement? I'd never go to that country. Right away, I can tell maybe you have a what? A narrow, restricted heart. A narrow, restricted heart. And this can happen if we're not careful, and God wants to expand it. How does God expand our hearts? Well, I think Romans chapter 5, verse 5 is a great start, 5 through 8. The Holy Spirit sheds the love of God abroad in your heart. Isn't that a great start? Hello, you here? Yeah, it's a great start. Let the Holy Spirit shed the love of God abroad in your heart in whatever situation. We had an interesting illustration in India. I need four men. Come up here for a minute. Pastor Eugene, Big Dave, Muhib, and Pastor Adam. Come on, I want to show you an illustration. I love this illustration. I'm going to place you where I want you to be. You're right there. Stand next to him right here. No. Stop this. Like a box. Make a box. Hold hands. Make a box. This is how I describe how the love of Christ constrains me. Every time a problem happens, I just want out of that love of God. And I try to make a move. Somebody got a bad attitude towards me in the church. You know what? Love of Christ constrains me. There's problems in the marriage. You know what? I'm going to deal with this problem the way I think it is according to truth. Love of Christ constrains me. I got a problem in my past. Things have happened, and they've done a job on me. And I, you know what? I have to go deal with this and get it off my chest, and I got to do this and that, and what? I can't get out. It holds me in on every side. The love of Christ constrains me. Soon echo holds me in on every side and prohibits me from considering any other options. That's what it means. So I try to go this way, constrained. This way, constrained. I'm constrained by God's love instead of being narrow. Thank you. Thank you for letting me out. This is God's love. Shed abroad my heart, enlarging my vision, enlarging my purpose, enlarging my faith, enlarging me. Enlargement comes through the Holy Spirit's love in my life and your life. Enlargement comes through the Word. Enlargement comes through body life. Enlargement comes through the faithfulness of God. Enlargement comes through an eternal purpose. Enlargement comes through glorifying God. God says, I want you to be enlarged. I am so enlarged for you, I don't care what's going on in your life. Did you ever think you did something that God wouldn't forgive? Hello? Well, maybe nobody here. Certainly some people over here. No. Did you ever think you did something that God wouldn't forgive? You don't understand that his heart is what? Enlarged. I meet people all the time and say, God could never forgive me. You can't believe what I've done. I said, I don't need to believe it. I know it. I already know because I've read the Mark 7, 20, 21, 22, and 23. 21 sins of the old sin nature. And maybe yours is one of them in there, but God can go beyond that. Amen? His forgiving love expands my heart. His life expands. I get expanded. I can say, I'm going to take in Onesimus, a runaway prisoner who stole from Philemon. I'm in Rome in prison, and the Apostle Paul is there, and Onesimus comes, and Paul takes him in, and he says to Philemon seven times in the epistle, you need to love him. I love him, love him. Have your heart open. And when the man who robbed you comes back to the church, he robbed the pastor and he robbed the church. He said, receive him as you receive my heart. Hello. Oh, you're going way beyond. I didn't come here to hear that this morning. You don't even know what's going on. How about somebody in the family? Huh? How about somebody in the neighborhood? How about somebody? You know what that person in the church did? No, I don't. Why don't you just have an enlarged heart that goes beyond sin, failure, faults, problems, difficulties, troubles, mountains? Hello? Have an enlarged heart that can take everybody and anybody in, regardless of who they are, what they're doing, what they've done to you, what they're doing to you, what they did to you, or what they may do to you. Say, you know what? My heart is what? Enlarged. I have an enlarged heart. You Corinthians, you reject me. See, he's talking to a church that rejected him as an apostle. He's talking to a church that he planted that didn't like him anymore. He said to them, have an enlarged heart. Have an enlarged heart. I have an enlarged heart for you, Corinthians, because Jesus had an enlarged heart for me. I was on the road to Damascus to kill Christians. I was persecuting the church, and all of a sudden I heard these words, I am Jesus whom you persecute. And Jesus did what for the murderer Saul? Huh? What did his enlargement do? It changed him to Paul and gave him an enlarged heart. We come to Jesus, not to just to give him things, but just to say, God, expand my heart. Enlarge my heart. God, I can't do it. I have like narrow thinking. I'm restricted in my thinking. I believe that's why some people have a struggle with maybe even thinking about missions or Bible school. They would dare not ever want to have their heart enlarged because it might mean something. Yeah, it just might. Isn't that interesting? It just might mean something, you know? That there's a great world out there waiting for people that have a heart of grace, a heart of love, a heart of mercy, a heart of the faithfulness of God, a heart of the gospel, a heart of the body. They're out there waiting, and they're everywhere. They're everywhere. God, help us. Help me, God, to have a what? An enlarged heart. And that can only come by fellowshipping with you. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I am what? Two things. Meek and lowly in heart. Meek means I have the word. Lowly means I have grace. You'll find rest for your soul. You come to Jesus. He will expand my heart. He can expand my heart for a person. I've seen some people get together after years of being separated and divorced and come back together again. Because God did what? He enlarged the heart. Children reconciled the parents. Parents reconciled the children. Believers at one, that maybe we're going in a different direction. God, enlarge my heart. Father, thank you today. Thank you for our mouths are open because our hearts are enlarged. Help us, God. Help us, God. Paul was only thinking about himself in Romans 7. He used the word I 27 times. In Romans 8, it was all about the Spirit and God's love. God's love. God is for me. He'll never accuse me. He'll never hold back from me. I'll never be separated from him. I'm never defeated. Something changed. Paul's life changed, Romans 7 and 8. His heart was enlarged. Help us, God. Think about the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's an enlarged heart. That's an enlarged heart. Praying for his murderers. An enlarged heart. That doesn't come through natural ways. That can't be given to you by a person, only the person of Christ. God, enlarge my heart. Expand it, God, that it takes in. Isaiah 54, 1 and 2, an enlarged heart. An enlarged heart. Taking in a Samaritan woman. Taking in a woman who they wanted to stone, as we heard. Taking in blind Bartimaeus. Taking in a leper. Taking in a prodigal son. Taking in the poor, the maimed, and the blind, and the halt in Luke 14, 21. Taking them in. That's the gospel. The gospel is given to the poor, to the brokenhearted, to the captives, to the blind, to the bruised. God's heart is wide open. An open heart. That heart doesn't fellowship with sin, but that heart understands the sinner. We pray, God, help us. Enlarge us. Enlarge our hearts. It's not something that can be done through human activity, a human plan, or a human ability. It comes from the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ himself. If you are here this morning and you need a new heart, by the way, God doesn't enlarge the old heart. He crucified it. Ezekiel 36, 26, I give you a new spirit and a new heart. God doesn't change the heart. God gives me a new one. If you are here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he wants to give you his heart. His heart. It's not based upon whether you join a church or you're baptized or you do good works. It's just based upon you saying, yes, I want Jesus. I believe in who he is, God the Son, and what he did on the cross, paid for all of my sins with his blood. I receive him as my Savior today, my personal Savior. Come into my life, save me, Jesus. Give me a new heart. With our eyes closed, our heads bowed, if that's you, just lift your hand up quickly. Jesus, save me. Save me, God. Save me. Save me. Save me from sin and evil, hell and the devil. Save me. And as we are here this morning, let's just quietly stand. And let's pray together as we close the service. God, enlarge my heart. If that's your prayer, you have an opportunity right now. Maybe you say, I don't even know where I need it to be enlarged. Just lift your hands to him. Say, Jesus, enlarge my heart. Because the Bible said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. So even in the new heart, God wants to expand the new heart. The new heart to grow. Jesus, expand my heart. God, enlarge my heart. Take away prejudices. Take away analysis, evaluations, criticisms. Jesus, please take them away. I can't get rid of them, but only you can take them. And give me your heart experientially that I might fellowship with you. That I would have an enlarged heart for lost people. I would have an enlarged heart for the gospel, an enlarged heart for a backslidden person, an enlarged heart for somebody who's my enemy, an enlarged heart for people at work, an enlarged heart for neighbors, an enlarged heart. God, give me an enlarged heart through the Spirit and the Word and faith. Help me, God. Help me. So important. I don't want to be like Peter, just hanging out with Jews and having an attitude towards Gentiles. But Peter got changed. Unfeigned and fervent love. Unfeigned and fervent love. We thank you today. Father, we pray that you bless our day today. God, use this day to enlarge our heart. Sin, the devil, and the world want to enlarge the old heart and make it wide and big. But that's a heart attack happening, waiting to happen. A heart attack of the old sin nature. And it's already been crucified. We pray that you'd help us, God. Bless our day today, Lord Jesus, as we close this service. We thank you. Bring us back tonight with an expectation to having our hearts enlarged. Thank you, God, that you are the only one that can do it. It's not a program. It's not human. It's not tradition. It's not works. It's God's life. God's life expanding and enlarging our hearts. Thank you. Bless our day today. Dismiss us with an enlarged heart. In Jesus' name, amen.